Chapter 6. By now, your Bibles should probably just fall open to Galatians. And also, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, as everyone knows, the 8:30 to 9:30 services, Dave's been taking us down what he calls the born-again trail. And especially teaching heavily out of Galatians and then starting Romans 7. But in Galatians, the problem Paul had, and the reason he wrote this letter to the Galatian church, he would go through and witness in various parts of the country and get people born again. And he would stay and teach them and get them established to a certain degree, but eventually he had to move on to the next area. That's what apostles do. Well, behind him, after he would leave, would come what the Bible calls the Judaizers. And these were men that primarily came from the church at Jerusalem. And they were zealous for the law. And they had it, like Dave says, they have a hard time understanding. I mean, we've been God's people all of our lives, you know. We're the Jews. We have Abraham as our father. We have the law. And suddenly now, all of a sudden, God is accepting these swine-eating Gentiles and putting them on an equal footing with us. We have a hard time with this, Paul. So they would come behind Paul, and basically they would tell these converts in Galatia or every city. They'd say, well, yes, through the grace of God and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it's now been made possible for you also to become the people of God. But in order to become perfect, you have to keep the law. So they would come and start trying to impose the law on all of these Christian converts, and them not knowing better, their tendency was to go back under the law. Well, Paul would have to write these letters, such as Galatians, Colossians, Ephesians, nearly all of them have to do with that, because that was the number one threat to the real gospel of Jesus Christ in his time, the church going back under the law. Of course, the more I study this, the more I find it's the number one threat in our dispensation. We keep going back under the law in all sorts of ways. Well, again, and this is just a review to get our minds going down the same path together. Paul would say, listen, Galatians, now you're Gentiles. You didn't grow up under the law like I did. Listen, I was born under the law, raised under the law. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I have come out of the law. And you're thinking about going back under it? You better listen to me. You better listen to someone who knows what he's talking about. You don't know what you're doing. The conclusion of his letter, and we're not going to try and review everything that Dave has done here. I mean, you know. But the conclusion is in Galatians 6. And we'll back up a little bit from the verse I really want. Starting in verse 11. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hand. In other words, Paul is wanting to authenticate to make sure they understand this is the same Paul who came and preached the gospel to them in the first place. I am the same one. This is me. Can you recognize my signature here? This is me. Now listen. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, talking about the Judaizers, they constrain you, they force you, they compel you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Stop. And as Dave says, that's the whole point. That's why God gave the law to the Jews in the first place, knowing they were spiritually dead. They didn't know it, but God knew it. And they're going, we're okay. And he's going, you're not okay. Yeah, we're okay. No, you're not okay. It's like the mule again. I can't improve on that. He says, I'm a thoroughbred. You're a mule. No, no, I'm a thoroughbred. Well, we'll put you in the starting gate with a bunch of thoroughbreds. We'll, you know, shoot the sounding gun here and see how you perform. And it doesn't take but just an instant for that mule to find out as soon as the gates open. I'm a mule. Well, God comes to these spiritually dead people and they're going, we're okay. He's going, you're not okay. Yeah, we're okay. Well, here, you think you're okay? Here's the law. Keep this. Sure, not a problem. Whatever you say, we're going to do that. They start trying to keep the law. They find out there's something wrong, just like that mule did. That's why now Dave's going to Romans 7. I wanted to keep it. I thought I could keep it. But when I try, the good that I would do, I can't do it. When I don't want to do the You know, the bad things that I don't want to do? There's something that compels me. What is it? I wind up doing these evil things. There's something wrong with me. What is it? Well, you've got a dead spirit on the inside of you. That's the problem. All right? So Paul's, the whole point was, Jew, you can't keep the law. Now, nations, look at the Jews. They can't keep it, and neither can you. Therefore, in Romans, Paul says, therefore, God concluded all under sin, that he might have mercy on them all. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to die for the sins of the whole species of man, all the descendants of Adam, everybody born in this earth, because we all have that death nature in us. He says, reformation is not enough. You must be born again. And that's what we're leading up to. Now watch this. Verse 13 again. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. They can't. But desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Now here's the verse. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now get this. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. It doesn't matter, Galatian church, whether you're trying to be nice, not trying to be nice, religion proof for all those years, without a new spirit, a new creature on the inside of you, you're lost. The law cannot save you, Galatian church. Don't try. Don't go back under it. The law cannot save you. You must be born again. Is that good stuff? Now, when you start understanding that, you begin saying, you know, there's really only two kinds of people on planet Earth. You've either got the spirit of what the Bible calls the spirit of the world, which is the Adamic nature that you were born with when you were physically born in the earth, or you've got a spirit from God. The Bible calls it sometimes the spirit of Christ in Romans 8. It says if you don't have that spirit from the second man, the last Adam, in other words, if the first Adam is still your spiritual father, you're lost. You're none of his. You're none of Christ's. Any man that has not a spirit, the spirit of Christ, if you've not been born of his spirit, you're none of his. You can keep the law till you're blue in the face. You'll split hell wide open. You're not born again. There's only two kinds of people. You've either got the spirit of the world in you or the spirit of Adam. No, spirit of the world in you or the spirit of Christ. You got that? Now, again, I like the way Dave says it. You can't improve on that. He says, now you weren't born with Adam's human spirit. Adam departed this world many thousands of years ago. But your spirit is descended from him. It has that nature in it. That's why you have to be born again. Well, in the same way, you don't have Christ's human spirit. He himself, as the glorified man God, God-man, is seated at the right hand of the Father. He has his own spirit. But the spirit you were born again with is the spirit of Christ. It came from him and has his nature in it. Just like when you were first born into the earth, you had Adam's nature in you. You got that? All right, we're leading up to something now. All right, just for another witness on this, go over to 1 Corinthians now. Chapter 2. You brave souls, there's still patches of ice out there. The most dangerous place was the parking lot I found when I got here. You have to navigate around the ice, you know. Thank God it's better than it was. Now, Paul's saying the same thing in his letter to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 12. Now, understanding these are born-again people that Paul himself led to the Lord on his missionary journey through Corinth. And he's explaining to them. He says, now listen, verse 12. We have received not the spirit of the world. Now stop. What spirit is that? That's Adam's spirit, isn't it? Okay. But you, born-again Corinthians, we have received the spirit which is of God. Remember when Jesus says, while he was still walking the earth in his flesh body, he said, I am from above. You are from below. Well, what did he mean? My spirit didn't come from Adam. My spirit is of God. I'm born from above, see? I'm not descended from Adam. Now, you are because you were born physically in the earth and your spirit is from below. I am from above. But now once we get born again, guess what? We are from above. That's why the Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of it. You're aliens. Thursday night at Calling in the Lost, I was reminding them of that old black and white movie, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Now, there's no pods. You know, I know you guys were probably too sanctified. This may be it. Maybe you saw it before you got saved, you know. You're too sanctified to go to movies. I understand that. But in that movie, you know, the whole idea that these aliens were coming, and the end result was it was an alien inside a human body. That's you. You're not of this world. You're not of this world. The Spirit of God has possessed you. You've been born again. You have a spirit on the inside that's not of this world. Hallelujah. You're an alien here. Glory to God. Get to thinking about that. Have a running fit. You know? We received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We're from above. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. Which things also we speak. Now get this part. We're going to talk about this. Not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. From that verse, let me ask you, ultimately, even though he may use men, and he does, ultimately, who is your teacher? The Holy Ghost. Thank God for Dave Roberson and the message of praying in other tongues. Now, the last time I spoke with you, I read an excerpt from Smith Wigglesworth's first book. I brought a copy of it so you can kind of see what it looks like. If you don't have this book, you need to get this book. It's a classic. It's called Ever Increasing Faith. It's a collection of Smith's sermons. And he specifically, they collected this during his lifetime, because he never received one penny from the sales of this book. It was specifically assembled and published, and every penny of all the sales above expenses went to finance missionary outreaches in China. I told you Smith is a hero of mine. Not only that, but if you follow his ministry, you'll find that he raised, I forget how many people from the dead, devils cast out by the hundreds, miraculous healings of all kind. This is a man I'd like to study. You know, it's good to have some heroes. You know, I'd like to follow in the steps of somebody who found out how to make it work and not listen to somebody telling me it can't work. Amen? Now, for years, Smith grew up, the denomination he was in, and he went to several, by the way, which that seems to be the pattern. You know, anyway, it's another lesson. Anyway, he was still convinced that he had already received the baptism in the Holy Ghost, even though he didn't speak with other tongues. And he argued about it everywhere. You know, he said, no, I've already received all the Holy Ghost there is. Do you speak with tongues? No, but I know I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you know, and that was his thing. Well, they had a meeting over in Sunderland in Europe. Yeah, I think I said that right. Sunderland, I think, was the town. And he heard that there was an outpouring going on there and people were speaking with other tongues. Well, he didn't speak with other tongues. So he went to the meeting, and really he was a big pain in the neck, because they would start teaching, and one thing about Smith now is he was bold. And he'd stand up and challenge them from the floor. They'd start talking about getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. He'd go, I'd beg to differ. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost for zama years, and I've never spoken with other tongues, but I know I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. And he'd, you know, he'd argue with him. Between meetings, they'd try and correct him, you know, and try and instruct him. No, I got all the Holy Ghost there is, you know. So he went on and on with this. Now, let me just pick up from that point, because he kept getting hungry, though. These people had something he didn't have. So let me just pick it up, and for benefit of the tape, this is out of Ever Increasing Faith, chapter 12, called the Bible evidence of the baptism in the Spirit. Okay? And picking it up here on page 112 in my edition, he came to this one lady, Mrs. Boddy, B-O-D-D-Y. And Smith said, "I can't rest any longer. I must have these tongues." She replied, "Brother Wigglesworth, it is not the tongues you need, but the baptism. If you will allow God to baptize you, the other will be all right." "My dear sister, I know I am baptized. You know that I have to leave here at 4 o'clock today. Please lay hands on me that I may receive the tongues." He just wouldn't, you know. See, but God looks at hungry hearts. "She rose up and laid her hands on me, and the fire fell. I said out loud, 'The fire's fallen.' There came a persistent knock at the door, and she had to go out. That was the best thing that could have happened, for I was alone with God." And he has that in capital letters, alone with God. That's the best thing that ever happened to you, when you get alone with God. "Then he gave me a revelation. Oh, it was wonderful. He showed me an empty cross and Jesus glorified. I do thank God that the cross is empty, that Christ is no more on the cross. It was there that he bore the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree.' He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, and now there he is in the glory. Then I saw that God had purified me. It seemed that God gave me a new vision." Now get this part. "And I saw a perfect being within me, with mouth open, saying, 'Clean, clean, clean.' When I began to repeat it, I found myself speaking in other tongues." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, what was it that the Holy Spirit was allowing him to see? What was that perfect being on the inside of Smith? It wasn't seeing the Holy Ghost. But when the Holy Ghost came, he opened his eyes where he could see. Smith got a vision of his own reborn human spirit. Now, he'd been born again since he was a young man. He'd had that spirit on the inside of him for decades. But when the Holy Ghost came upon him, he opened his eyes somehow, and Smith got a vision, a revelation of that spirit. Now, the reason I wanted to say all that, I want to talk to you about the golden man. What in the world is the golden man? Well, as I've been praying and listening. See, I don't know how you guys do it, but when... I have one advantage over most people. I know I'm not real smart, and I mean that when I say it. No, I'm not. I mean, I admire people that are quick. I really do, you know. But, you know that old tortoise and the hare thing? If the race is long, normally I'll beat them. Because one advantage I have is I have no quitting sense, see? And since I know I'm not real quick, I don't assume that I get Dave's messages by hearing them once. So when he does these services, like the 8:30 morning services, especially when he got into that mediating, you know, God's not a mediator of one, but God is one and all that stuff, I want you to know I wore those tapes out. I can preach them just like Pastor Dave. I can press rewind on my nose and here it comes, you know. Can't quite use his voice, but that revelation will unfold. Vision by vision by vision, just like the Holy Ghost explained it to him. I've got it. I've meditated and chewed on it. It's just as much me as the meatloaf I ate yesterday is me. It's assimilated into my body. I've got it. I've got that. Well, going through that process and going through all these revelations, everything Dave teaches, and meditating and going through all the scriptures myself and praying in other tongues myself. Now, the Holy Ghost, he has many ways of teaching. One of the ways that he uses is what I call teaching visions. And he'll come to you and he'll just start showing you something. He taught me faith that way. Those of you that heard me teach on faith, the God kind of faith, he used an elm tree, for crying out loud. Do you remember that, Michael? Used an elm tree to teach me faith, and I've never been the same since. Well, he started showing me. Now, when I say this, the first thing I have to say is, I am not at all saying our spirit looks like what I'm about to describe to you. That's not the point. He was using this teaching method to get some things across to me in relation to this reborn spirit on the inside of us and how we're supposed to relate with the kingdom of heaven. With me? Well, I started praying, meditating all this, thinking about Smith getting to see his own reborn human spirit. Paul's statement over there in Galatians, he said, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. What matters is, have you been born again? Is there a new creature on the inside of you? Do you have one of those perfect beings or not? If you do, that's what matters. Okay? I was praying along those lines, and in my spirit, how many of you, again, I know you're too sanctified. A few years ago, there was a movie called Cocoon. Y'all saw that? Well, I'm shocked. For those of you that may not have seen it, it was a science fiction movie, and the part that's important without going over the whole movie, these were aliens from another planet, and they had disguised themselves by, you know, basically clothing themselves in flesh. I mean, just to look at one of them, you couldn't tell the difference between them. But at one point in there, one of them kind of peeled their skin back. You remember that? You know. And inside was this golden alien-looking being. Wasn't frightening at all, but it was golden. And one thing for sure, when you saw that being, that was the reason they did it that way. As soon as you saw it, you knew this was an alien from another planet. Okay? Well, as I was praying about this, I started seeing the golden man. Looked very much like, if you saw that movie, like those aliens in the movie Cocoon. It was golden. The facial features were not just real, real distinct, you know. You could tell the eyes and the head and the torso. It was a humanoid, all right, but it was just golden. It just shined, you know. And I'm not at all saying our spirits look like that. Not at all. Really, our spirits look like us. Like David said, you know, if your spirit man was to step outside your physical body, you'd look at your spirit man, look at you, and you'd recognize yourself. I personally think my spirit is younger than I am physically now. And better looking with less wrinkles. Hallelujah. But anyway, for teaching purposes, and I started seeing, I knew that golden man in these visions represented our reborn human spirit. Now, one of the first visions that unfolded to me, I saw a high school classroom, just a typical United States of America high school classroom. The age of these students, they looked to be either juniors or seniors, you know. And my vision is just panning around the room. There's a teacher up at the chalkboard. There's some kind of lesson going on. I can't hear what's going on, but, you know, I can tell there's a teacher and writing on the chalkboard. And my vision is just kind of, panning around the room. And I see these normal-looking high school students, blue jeans and sweat, you know, T-shirts and just normal, except for one. And suddenly, when that one came into view, sitting in a chair as a student, there sat this golden man. And your first thought when you see that is, what's he doing there? This guy is not of this world. What is he doing sitting in a classroom where they're teaching about the principles of this world when he's really an alien from another planet? And I got to watching this, and the teacher up there is going, now what's interesting, he was interested, this golden man, he was paying attention. But what was funny, as this person at the chalkboard would teach, he'd 2 + 2 = 4, for example. Say the teacher at the chalkboard. 2 + 2 = 4. Now we accept that, don't we? That golden man kind of cocked his head to one side going, well, that's a little hard for me to believe, but if you say so. And I'm going, what is going on here? And immediately the Holy Spirit brought to my mind the actual event of the loaves and fishes. Now see, we're also going to talk about the physics of the kingdom. When I say physics, I'm talking about physics like you learned in high school. Gravity, math, spatial geometry, time, all those kind of things. All right? Now, on our side, in the natural realm, the physical side of things, 2 plus 2 equals 4, does it not? At the event of the loaves and fishes, I don't think you could restrain that to 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, I don't know what 2 plus 2 equals in the kingdom of God, but it's more than 4. When you take 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and there's leftovers, honey, 2 plus 2 is more than 4.
Amen.
But we, see, now, growing up in the, before you got born again, you had that spirit of the world in you. All of us did. Now, how do you train an Adamic spirit to function in the world? Well, you expose it to the world. That's why we sit them down and teach them ABCs and mathematics and physics and economics and all of that stuff. And hopefully you teach them some morals. You know, the law is for the lawless. You know, you know, like Dave says, I don't really, it's not that I don't want to come get your stuff. I just want laws so you can't come get my stuff, you know. Well, that's the purpose of the law for, you know, when you got the spirit of the world in you. All right? So, don't we train the spirit of the world by exposing it to the world? Isn't that how we train it? That's how we teach it how to function here. But what's really odd, we take a new creature spawned from another world and expose it to the same principles as though it's no different. Think about that for a minute. Well, now, if the way you train the spirit of the world to function according to the world is by exposing it to the world, wouldn't you think that if you had a creature from another world, let's say a creature born of the kingdom, you would train it how to operate according to that kingdom by sitting it down to a teacher from that kingdom. So he could explain and expose you to the kingdom. Is that a little different vision to help you understand why all those? And we come on Friday night to let that teacher teach us, and somebody wants to talk to you about the junk. Well, my car wouldn't start today, and I've just been so, you know. And you're sitting there, a golden creature, really, an alien from another world, and your teacher has come to teach you how to function in this world according to the physics of that world. And they're going to come to you and talk to you about your car, about their problems, and I may get laid off at my job. Be nice to them, though, because you have to walk in love, you know. If you depend on Friday night for the bulk of your prayer time, you are deceived. You will never get there. I'm being nice. All right. These visions continued. You can see that one, can't you? I mean, that's just absolute folly to take a golden creature from another kingdom, another world that has this potential. Let's don't get off of this so quick. Let's just take it for a minute. Philip. Remember Philip in the book of Acts? Now see, we have the right to operate in both worlds. That's the thing. When the angel, now first of all, it was a supernatural appearance. The angel of the Lord came and says, I want you to go down to a certain place and do some witnessing for Jesus. Now, as far as we can tell from that story, he used natural means to get there. He either walked or he rode a donkey. It doesn't tell us, but he traveled naturally to get from where he was down to this certain place. And there was an Ethiopian, you remember the story, coming by, and he was reading out of Isaiah, and he wasn't understanding it. And the Spirit of the Lord said, Philip, jump up there with him and speak with him. And the Ethiopian was reading a certain passage, and he says, I don't understand this. So Philip explained the scriptures to him in such a way that the man wanted to be born again. And he says, well, there's water. Could I be baptized right now? If you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, you can. I believe. So gets down off of there, probably leads this guy in the sinner's prayer, baptize, you know, gets him baptized in water, the man's born again. Amen? Now, all of that up till now has been done Now, even though the revelation came supernaturally, the way Philip did it was all according to the physics of this world. He either walked there or traveled there. He used his vocal cords, a communication that we all understand, even though, it's, you know, to get this man saved, right? But now all of a sudden the Holy Ghost decides to switch gears. Because we've got a golden man clothed in flesh. We've got a spiritual creature on the inside of Philip that's this perfect being like what Smith saw. And he says, well, Philip, Jesus has got another assignment for you. But now on this one, we're just going to kind of bypass all the material laws of time and spatial geometry. Is that okay? Because instantly, he was transported. And Philip was found at Azotus, another city. I think that's the way you say it. Now, we dream about stuff like that through Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty, you know. Beam me up, you know. Even the mind of man can conceive of such a thing. We can't physically do it. Someday, maybe they can, according to the laws of physics here. I don't know. But I do know one thing. That's already an established law of physics in the kingdom we're from. Rick Renner, I was sitting right over there one night. I heard him preach right here in this church. Several years ago, before he ever went to Russia, as I understand this, you could help me with this, but as I understand it, he believes he was honestly transported to this place in Russia. He described the vegetation, he described the terrain. You know, he'd gone to sleep, but then all of a sudden, like Paul said, whether in a dream or not, I don't know. But he's walking up the steps, and these people are going, "We've been waiting on you." He come inside, he preaches a message. Later on, he wakes up. He's still in his bed, doesn't know whether it was a dream or what. Years later, goes back to Russia. They're visiting up in the northern part somewhere, and the vegetation starts to look very familiar. The terrain starts to look very familiar. They arrive in this little village. He sees a house that looks very familiar, and a man comes out and says, "We were wondering when you were going to come back and teach us again." Is that close? That golden man, that reborn human spirit, you're not of this. Say this. Say, I am in this world. I am not of it. I am from above.
I am of the kingdom of God.
Boy, if we start getting a revelation of that, start understanding that we come from a whole different planet. A whole different realm. It's called heaven. The kingdom of God. You're not designed to function below the material realm of this world. That golden man on the inside of you, you start telling him, that thing right there is impossible. And he gets that look like a cow at a new gate. That's not his nature to think things are impossible. He's not spawned with... Jesus doesn't have that kind of nature to think things are impossible. And we have to send those golden creatures to seminary to pound it out of them. To convince them that miracles have passed away. And they have to sit there and... Really? Something about that doesn't seem right, but... If that's all you're going to expose me to is the ways of this world and the doctrines of man,
Hallelujah.
I guess I'll just have to operate on that level.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Y'all liking this?
Yes.
Man, if this doesn't drive you into the prayer closet, I don't know what to say about you now. I just really don't. I just have to... You start getting visions like that. Start thinking about the potential. That's what Paul was telling the Galatians. The law was for spiritually dead people. You've been born again. Why would you submit yourself as though you were unchanged? Why would you submit yourself to those laws that were only given for spiritually dead people? The law is for the lawless. You've been born again. But you're cursed if you don't tithe, you know. Sorry, I just...
I couldn't help it. Don't you know yet that that is the very thing that the devil has used to keep the cap on the church? Just like Paul was trying to convince these Galatians, don't go back under the law, you'll fall from grace. What he meant by that is you're going to lose your inheritance. You're going to function like spiritually dead people your whole lives. You'll never walk in power like Philip. You'll never walk in demonstration of the Spirit and power if your mindset goes underneath that again. And we let them put our mindset under it all the time. That was given for spiritually dead people. Again, I say, I don't know any people. I personally don't know any born-again, spirit-filled people that are trying to figure out ways to give less to God. All of them I know are trying to figure out some way to give more.
Amen.
Anyway. Come at the next service. That's where I get to unload on that. Right now we're talking about born-again. But the point is this. This stuff is real. This affects how you operate. I mean, I used to say to them, my God, they'd get me so convinced, you know, I'm cursed. Man, I don't want to be cursed. Dear God, why do you think the Holy Spirit has taken us down this born-again trail? To free us once and for all from the law and all religion that is not life. Speaking of life, that's the other. When I woke up this morning, I kept hearing this phrase, the author of life. Praying, and, you know, I just woke up. Sue says I pray a lot in my sleep at night. I don't know, I'm asleep, you know. But woke up, just that phrase, the author of life, the author of life. So I get up and stagger to the coffee pot, hair all askew, you know. You know, I really look like a man of faith and power, you know. Sure look like one of those, don't look anything like one of those golden men at all, you know. And while the coffee's making, I go in and fire up the computer because I've got one of those Bible search programs on there, and I do a little search. Author of life in the New Testament. I was shocked when it didn't find it. But I know the voice of my teacher. I've been at this too long now. And I said, all right, what's up? So he had me go to a place where I did know that the word author was used. The author and finisher of our faith from Hebrews 11. And I looked up that Greek word for author. And then I did a search in the Greek using that word. And I found it over in Acts. Where they're saying, you have killed the prince of life. That word prince, same Greek word. The author of life. You have killed the author of life. Now, what kind of life? He's talking about the life of that golden man. He's talking about a life that did not originate on this planet, but is spawned from above. We only have one pattern for that kind of life. We don't know. You can look at people all over the world. You'll never. There's only one pattern. That's the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. He is the one that came from heaven as a seed with that life on the inside of Him packaged in human flesh. Go over to 1 John chapter 1. Let's talk about the author of life. He's talking about life that did not originate here. Life that is not spawned from the first man Adam, but life that is from God. 1 John. Excuse me. The author of life. 1 John chapter 1. Still hear the pages turning? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Now, get this. For the life, singular, the life. There's only one pattern. There's only one author. There's only one source. The life. Say it, look at it, before I even read the rest of it. There was no pattern before. We didn't even know what life was. The only life we knew of was the life of man, and they're all fallen. The only life we're acquainted with is the death life that come down from Adam. But we beheld, we look at this, our hands have looked, we have looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now can you see that we only have one pattern? If you want to know what the capabilities and potentials of the golden man in you is, there's only one author.
Amen.
You've only got one place to look. Now we can look at Smith because he appropriated some of it, bless God. He got some of it. He sat down in the classroom with a qualified teacher until the teacher was able to show him how to function according to the physics of that realm and not the physics of this realm. You got that? But the Holy Ghost, there isn't anybody else qualified to teach you. What school are you going to enroll in where they're going to teach to you about walking on water?
Hallelujah.
Multiplying loaves and fishes.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know of any college that teaches that. But we got a teacher.
Yeah. Amen.
And he is sent for the... We teach those things which the Holy Ghost teaches.
Hallelujah.
That same letter, the same man, Paul, just a few chapters later says, I thank my God. I speak in tongues more than you all. Why, Paul? He that speaks in an unknown tongue is not speaking unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speak in mysteries. What kind of mysteries? Physics from another world. Where 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. Where gravity does not force a man to sink underwater. Where a man can preach one message at the prayer center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and 2 minutes later be preaching on the other side of the world in China. And I mean really be there. That's physics from another realm. There's only one qualified teacher. Oklahoma State University, I've been there, does not have a course on that. I'm telling you now, I've been there. Now, I know that it's a good school for a lot of things. They don't have a curriculum on that. There's no qualified teachers there. Thank God we've got one here.
Yes.
Who sat and listened to the Holy Ghost for 25, 26 years, praying in other tongues to where finally he can... Thank God it won't take us 25, 26 years to get a lot of this. He can come out and deliver to you a revelation that may have taken him 5, 6 years to pray through. Glory to God. Like Kenneth Hagin says, it really shouldn't be that every generation should have to reinvent the wheel. You know? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm having a good time myself. Now, while you're in 1 John, now get this part. Just look at verse 2 again. For the life. I like that the singular. I got a little circle around it. The. So I don't forget. The life was manifested, and we have seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto this. Now hold your place there. In the same book. Go over to chapter 5 as we see John's conclusion. Why is he writing this letter to these people? He says, I'm here to tell you. He starts it off by saying, I'm telling you, I'm a witness myself. I've seen the author of life. I've seen the only true pattern. My hands have handled him. I've spoken with him. I've broke bread with him. I've traveled with him. I've ministered with him. I am an eyewitness about this life. And why is he writing the letter? You ready for this? You better fasten your seatbelt. That same life, that same eternal life, watch. John chapter 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life.
Hallelujah.
What life? The life. The life that I have in myself, Jesus said. He said the Father has life in himself. He has given to the Son to have life in himself. Now Jesus, he has come to Michael Kelly of all people and said, Michael,
hallelujah,
receive me and you can have my life in yourself.
Hallelujah.
And it's the same life. It has that same potential. It has that. It's from another world. Amen. It's from another realm. Don't sit down and let religion teach you all things are not possible. That's not even the nature of that new spirit I put on the inside of you to think like that.
Hallelujah.
Tell me you're limited by the economics of this world. Hey, listen, if 2 plus 2 don't equal 4 in that realm, and you can operate in that here, 5 loaves and 2 fishes on this side, based on physics from that side. You with me? And if you can walk on water on this side, even Peter walked, you say, yeah, but that was, you know, yeah, Jesus. Peter walked on the water. Now, he didn't walk long, but he walked. You got me? What I'm saying is the physics from that realm superimposed on this realm. You with me? Now, if 2 plus 2 don't equal 4 from that realm, and if gravity is not the same from that realm, why do we just automatically assume that everything we were taught about economics might not just be a little different if we could ever learn them from that realm instead of this realm? Who knows if the law, if who, be nice. In this realm, industrial engineer, that's what I am. My mind is so gone. My degree, I have a Bachelor of Science in Industrial Engineering. Well, you take, you know, in the course of that, part of your curriculum is economics. So I can, you know, I could stand up here and we could discuss the laws of supply and demand and a lot of those things, you know. Now the point is, who knows? Helena, are you really limited by the laws of supply and demand?
No.
What? But this whole world operates economically that way. All the markets, don't you know, are set up on that. You don't care, huh? See that golden creature on the inside of her going, it's cocking its head going. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Now, the realm I come from, you can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and you can do it for free.
Hallelujah.
You don't have to charge them for it.
Man.
And, oh, no, no. You're limited to the laws of supply and demand, you know. God only knows what kind of gospel entrepreneurs can be raised. If we ever sit them down in the classroom with the only qualified teacher. He's getting a revelation back here. Glory to God. He's going, I'll be glad when he gets done so I can go pray. He said, are you ever going to shut up? I need to pray now. Look at that again in verse 5, chapter 5. Now, here's the amazing thing when it dawned on me one day, I was reading this. John's writing this letter. These people are obviously born again, aren't they? The people that he's addressing this letter to. Now, isn't it an amazing thing that he has to write a letter to tell them? Look at it. Look what he said. He says, I'm writing this letter so you'll know. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, let's go on one more verse and you'll see what I mean about writing a letter. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And one day it just jumped out at me. Didn't they know? You remember when Jesus said the kingdom of God does not come by observation? We are, now I have to receive this as much as you. We are so spiritually dense, tuned out from the realm of the Spirit, just like these people, that John would have to write a letter to a lot of us and say, yeah, you really are saved. Because we're so out of tune, we're still walking so much in the carnal mind, natural thinking, he's in there. That new creature was in there. I got to write a letter so you'll know it. Sitting in the wrong school. I am born again. Tell me one more time. Remember when you were first born again? Tell me one more time, preacher. I see now. I confess my sins. I asked Jesus to come into my heart. And the main reason you had to keep having that reassurance was you're still walking real ugly. You know? And you're just going, I'm not sure I'm saved. Surely a saved person wouldn't act like that. Tell me again, preacher, one more time. Yeah, let's see now. Did you confess your sins? Yes, I did. Did you ask Jesus into your heart? Yes, I did. Well, the Bible says, you know, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive you. You know, it says, Romans 10:9-10, you know, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. Yes, you are born again. He's doing the same thing with you that John is doing with this bunch.
That's right.
Because we're so out of tune, we haven't known how to even get in touch hardly with that golden man, that new creature, that spirit from another world that's on the inside of us, because we walk in the mind. At the fall of man, see, really, when death entered, the soul, what Dave called, you know, the mind, the intellect, the emotions, man was never intended to rule by his soul. Man was not originally designed that way. He was a spirit being, and he was supposed to rule by his spirit. The soul, the intellect, and all of that is basically a handheld computer you carry with you. It helps you calculate and make and do things and store information and all of that. You're never supposed to live by that stupid thing. But, see, at the fall, man is cut off from the life of God now. He doesn't have that anymore. And the soul, the calculator, became Lord to the man. And he starts making decisions based on that. Instead of, he can't look to his spirit anymore. It's dead. It's cut off from God. Well, we've evolved that way down through the centuries, that pattern after pattern, every generation born with spiritual death. Well, we expose that spirit of the world to the world so it'll know how to operate in the world, and we train it to walk by the soul. We train it to walk by the emotions. We train it to walk by the intellect and all of that. And man, so to the point that even when you do get born again, you're so used to walking that way. And up until I heard of Dave, no preacher was telling me there was any other choice, really. There may have been some. I just didn't know of them. And finally, Pastor Dave comes along and says, you know, you might want to think about praying in other tongues. Well, why would I want to do that? Well, that puts your reborn spirit in touch with a teacher that God has sent. And you can start learning how to make decisions based from your spirit, founded from your spirit that came from heaven, rather than continuing to walk by the intellect, the will, and the emotions. Glory to God, is that good stuff. You really want me to quit now, don't you? You're ready to go pray now, right? Yeah, hallelujah, see? I don't want to be to the place where Dave has to write me a letter once a month. Yeah, Gary, you're still saved. I have written this so that you'll know that you have life in yourself and that you're saved. God, that's pathetic. I'm so out of tune. Now, why would a person be like that? Well, your emotions may have told you you weren't saved that day.
That's right.
You weren't born again, you know. You listen to the devil comes because you slipped up, said something ugly. It could be a thousand things. And so here comes the devil. He's working on your emotions and your thought life now. He said, well, see there. You couldn't be saved. You're just another old slimy dog worm hypocrite. You know? And you're going, if you're more tuned to that than you are tuned to that reborn spirit that's supposed to have been taught by God, then you'll fall for it. It won't be very long. You'll be backslidden, sure enough. Get back out in the world. He'll convince you. Isn't this, look at it one more time. It scared me, to be honest with you, when I realized what John was having to do here. And these are his own spiritual children, time after time after time. He says, my little children. I know these are people he led to the Lord. My little children. Let me tell you again. And he brags on them and pumps them up, you know, and he says lots of, it's like, I got an extra minute. It's like I remember when Kenneth Hagin said this on one of his tapes, you know, because God was dealing with him about operating in more mercy towards people, this years and years ago, early. And he says,
Well, Lord, I don't know what you mean by that. He says, well, read the first chapter of Corinthians. And you read it and you see how Paul, he just commends these people. Now, later on, he starts talking to them about how they're split, divided, carnal. There's unrepentant fornication going on in the church. They're suing each other and all of this stuff. But now he starts off, oh, you come behind in no gift. God has done great things with you. You know, just kind of building. And the Spirit of God asked Brother Hagin, says, now how would you have written that first chapter? Well, I'd have told him, you backslidden buzzards better repent, you know. You're all a bunch of backslidden buzzards, you know. And I got to reading this First John. You know, First John's a scary book anyway. You read that thing, you know. I remember the first time I read that book, I thought I wasn't saved. I mean, you know. And then I finally realized what he's really trying to do. He's having to write a letter. Really, you're born again. Yeah, I have. Look at it. Look what he said. Chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have. That you may know. John, you had to write me a letter? Yeah. Yeah, I did. I wrote it. Look what I said. I have written these things unto you that you can know this. You have eternal life. Now, I think also he was writing it. Because if I'd have asked any one of you before you come in today, especially the you that's been coming to the 8:30 service, are you born again? Oh, yes. Maybe even put a little kick with it. Yes. You know. Do you have eternal life? Yeah. Glory to God. Then if I'd have asked you, does 2 plus 2 equal 4? You'd have said, well, yes. You know? Are you limited by the laws of supply and demand? Well, yeah, that's the economic system. See, we still don't know. John's still writing a letter to us today. He's going, I'm going to paraphrase it just a little bit based on everything I said. John says, I've seen the life. I've handled the life. I saw the pattern. I saw the culmination. That if you can let that seed grow up on the inside of you, I saw what God intends. I've seen the pattern. Now, I'm writing this so that you can know. There's a golden man on the inside of you. A reborn human spirit, not of this world. I've seen the pattern. You might want to... A teacher has been sent to bring you from where you are now, closer and closer and closer to conform to the pattern. You do have that potential in you.